A terrific Tuesday to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. The Dream Team is back. Sean Coleman and live from Las Vegas, DeMichael Cole. On today's episode, Ja Morant would cook Michael Jordan. And also, they're now talking about fabricated Ja Morant stories on ESPN. That and more Summer League reactions on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. When it comes to Ja Morant, him being in the media is all that matters. Here we go with Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome one and all to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Sean Coleman at StatsSAC. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter. Free on all podcast platforms right here on YouTube as well. Just hit that subscribe button below. And DeMichael, it's been a while. I know that you've been traveling with the Summer League team and having a lot of great experiences, as you deserve to have. But it's good to have you back, sir. Always good to get to be able to talk Grizzlies basketball with you.
Sean, it's always good to join you too, you know. Doing those solo episodes, they get a little lonely sometimes. But, you know, I don't tell you enough, but you're a good partner in crime, you know. You're all right, Sean.
The feeling's more than mutual here, at least that I'll say on camera. Of course, you can find everything that has to deal with Locked On Grizzlies at our own Twitter handles and at Locked On Grizzlies as well. But let's jump right into it. I know that there's plenty going on when it comes to the Summer League, but there's also been, over the past 24 hours, some fun stories involving Ja Morant. Of course, the source of these stories, as we've seen before, Ja Morant, Taylor Rooks recently sat down and had a really fun interview in which Taylor Rooks was talking with Ja about, you know, his big extension that he just signed, obviously coming off the outstanding year that he had his third year in the NBA. But there's a couple of moments, one that occurred and one that we know didn't occur, but there's been fallout from it that especially has grabbed attention. DeMichael, talk a bit about it and how Ja Morant, you know, just consistently, for whatever reason it may be, even if you think some of his claims may be a bit out there, how he consistently does a great job of maintaining presence in the media.
Yeah, and if you listen to the interview with Ja Morant and Taylor Rooks, part of before they had that conversation about, you know, Michael Jordan and all of that, she asked him about Twitter. As we know, Ja Morant is very active on Twitter. And a lot of people, you know, today think it's kind of weird. But to me, it's like it's a refreshing thing, too, because I was around on Twitter in 2009, 2010, 2011, when John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, like all these basketball players used to literally talk about waking up in the morning, had a good workout this morning, had a good, you know, like literally talk about brushing their teeth all the way up throughout the day. Like Twitter was like way more, you know, social at that point. But now athletes use it just, you know, for branding, for marketing, to make a couple dollars. And they don't say much because, you know, the fear of, you know, just all the type of things and how the words can get twisted and all of that stuff. But with Ja Morant, he's very active. Like Ja Morant is real active on Twitter. And of course, when he was talking to Taylor Rooks, one of the things that he mentioned was a big part of why he's so active on Twitter is branding. Going back to your point. And I thought that was, you know, it's a smart thing for him to say because you don't hear him talk about that a lot. But, I mean, we see it. He brands himself real well. He has over 2 million followers, and he's played 3 seasons in the NBA. So, branding, he's on another level. It just, the NBA also just released that he had the second most sold jerseys in France. Like, his personal brand is skyrocketing. But, Sean, I mean, the whole point that everyone took away from that long interview was the whole conversation about Ja Morant and Michael Jordan. And we know what he said. You know, he said he'd cook MJ. Like, he said it. But here's my thing about that. Like, Sean, you're a competitor, right? You don't like when I tell everybody about the time I beat you 12-0 in basketball with my left hand. You don't like when I tell people about that. So, I mean, at the end of the day, when you're a competitor, you're not just going to admit that someone's going to beat you, especially someone as good as Ja Morant. I mean, what was he supposed to say? Was he supposed to say, yeah, MJ will cook me? Like, no. I mean, you can have respect for, you know, the growth of the game, respect for MJ. I've heard him talk about MJ, Allen Iverson, Steph Curry. Ja Morant pays his respects to the greats of the basketball game. But at the end of the day, I'm a competitor too. I'm not about to say that a man, you know, is going to beat me as well. Like, that's exactly what I expect. Now, cook Michael Jordan, that probably was a little, you know, exaggerated. But Taylor Rooks did kind of tee it up that way. I think she used the word cook before Ja Morant kind of said it as well. But then, you know, Sean, there was more to it after that.
Absolutely, there was. And, you know, so there have been, you know, I believe three different instances. You know, one was, of course, you know, the part of the interview where he mentioned that he would cook Michael Jordan. Of course, there was also the segment on ESPN based off a fabricated story, based off a quote that Ja Morant clearly didn't say. ESPN ran with a whole segment on that. They later apologized. And of course, there also was the instance in the Las Vegas Summer League where he was asked what he was addicted to. And of course, it was money. So a couple of different things that really stand out to me are this, and take away from it whatever you will. It's hard for me to say there is a better young superstar in the NBA when it comes to building his brand right now than Ja Morant. You can clearly tell that he has put in an effort to be able to know how to build his brand. He is becoming very, very good at knowing how to keep his name as a big buzzworthy subject in the media. And here's the other key takeaway from this, DeMichael, that I don't think is talked about enough. We talk about a lot of times how a young star like Ja Morant, can Memphis keep him long-term? We've seen now him sign that 5-year deal without the player option. One of the reasons why, it's becoming clear that Memphis is not going to really have to worry about keeping Ja Morant here for a long time is because of the fact that he can create opportunities from himself when it comes to building his brand, because he knows how to play to the media. Him knowing how to do that means that he's not going to have to go to a New York or an LA or a big market like that to really build his brand. He knows how to do it here. And with the love that he has for Memphis, combining those two things together, that's a spectacular combination that Grizzlies fans have to enjoy having here on the Grizzlies.
For sure. I mean, loyalty, when you talk about Ja Morant, loyalty is the word. He's a very loyal dude. And, you know, you talk about where he's come from. He comes from South Carolina. He's still, you know, small town South Carolina kid. He still hangs out with the same dudes he grew up with all the way through. People were asking me at Summer League. So when Ja Morant walked in, he walked in with an entourage. I'm talking 10 people deep. His photographer, his best friend, you know, Devontae D-Tap, you know, Shot by Nye, you know, who kind of records all of his, you know, content. And I mean, his uncle, T. Morant later came in and more. Like, Ja Morant had a whole entourage of him, 10, 11, 12 people. And people were asking me, they were like, why does Ja Morant? Because, you know, you see Trae Young walk in here. You see, you know, John Wall walk in. You see all these stars of the game walk in. But Ja Morant is the one who walks in with 10, 11, 12 people with him. So people were asking me, like, why does he have all these people with him? It's who he is. Like, he is a good example, for better or for worse, however you want to look at it. I think it's for better. He's a good example of someone who has not changed since coming to the NBA, by keeping the people around him that matter. And going back to the loyalty, you talked about the 5-year contract. He's talked about how Memphis has been good to him. He's talked about over and over how being in Memphis, it reminds him of home in a way. It's not too big. You know, I remember certain people in his family telling me, like, when the New York Knicks had the number 3 pick that year, they didn't want to go to New York. That wasn't a favorable option for them. The bright lights, the big city. Now you come to a city like Memphis, not as big, but he's still skyrocketing his profile. He still just got this 5-year max that could be worth more than $230 million next year. And he's still more than likely, the way it's lining up with Nike, Sean, he's more than likely to get a sneaker deal next. That's probably going to be another nine-figure contract on the way for him. So money isn't a problem. Marketing himself isn't a problem. And, I mean, ESPN helped him out with the latest report. But overall, Ja Morant's brand, I mean, at 22, for him to be 22 years old, he's one of the best players in the NBA at marketing himself.
And don't get it twisted. You're absolutely correct. He absolutely is one of the best out there, regardless of age. But don't get it twisted. The thing that I mean by saying that is this, is that part of these comments, part of the reason why Ja Morant makes these comments that people may think are arrogant or may not think, it make a lot of sense. It comes from a confidence level that you want your star to have. It comes from a confidence level that you consistently want for the premier talent on your team to have. Plus, you also see Ja Morant and these great stories about how he's leaving big tips for these waiters and waitresses. That is who Ja Morant naturally is. And even when he's making comments like he would cook Michael Jordan, it's not a lack of respect towards legends. Ja Morant likely has as much respect for any legend that's out there. You see him all the time supporting his peers and other legends in the game. Him saying a comment like he would cook Michael Jordan is not him disrespecting Michael Jordan. It's just the confidence that Ja Morant has. So the overall point is this. There's nothing really negative to take away from this. It's just a lot of fun to see Ja Morant's confidence, to see his overall ability in many different ways off the court help his brand just as much as his game does on the court. But speaking of helping their game on the court, one of the things that we're hoping to see as the summer league continues for young Grizzlies is to see them start to live up to the potential that the main Grizzlies roster is going to need them to for the Grizzlies to continue the strong trends that we've seen over the past few years. We'll discuss that in just a moment. But I can tell you one trend, and speaking of brands that we consistently promote, that's Built Bar. Built Bar is a great thing to do. Whether you're on the Las Vegas Strip at 4 a.m. needing breakfast, like the Michael Cole this past Sunday night, or you're like me, living the boring lifestyle of having, over a newspaper, a nice Built Bar puff, whatever you choose to do, Built Bar is going to be a great thing for you. Is that not true, DeMichael?
See, I love my Built Bars, Sean. I love my white chocolates, cookies, and cream Built Bar. You talk about me having it at 4 a.m. I don't need it at 4 a.m. because I can get it at 8 a.m. I can get it at noon. I can get it at 4 p.m. I can get it at 8 p.m. You can get a Built Bar any time of the day. And it's 100% real chocolate, right, Sean? You can't forget that. And it's healthy, too. So you talk about a healthy chocolate bar that's all chocolate. You can't beat it.
Tasty, health, boost of energy. Morning for breakfast, afternoon as a snack, before or after a workout. The great thing is also you can go to Built.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off of your next order from Built Bar. Check it out today. Can't thank you enough for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. But don't forget to check out the Locked On MLB Podcast Network. Coming up, the All-Star Game is right around the corner, and there are many teams who are in the race that could make moves with the trade deadline coming up. Make sure to check out the Locked On MLB podcast of your choice as soon as possible after you make Locked On Grizzlies your first choice as well. So on yesterday's episode, you heard me discuss, when it comes to the Grizzlies Summer League, about how the young roster has really struggled recently. And what I mean by struggled, not necessarily struggled, really struggled, but there's been more struggles than there have been successes, especially when it comes to shooting from distance, especially when it comes to limiting turnovers, when it comes to passing, what have you. And, you know, again, only so much can be taken from the Summer League. You would have to expect it to be the case. There's going to be some inconsistencies with how young this roster is. But DeMichael, I will say this. I would say so far, when it comes to the Grizzlies and their performance in the Summer League, it just feels like that in terms of shooting and in terms of offensive consistency, I would think the franchise probably was hoping to see a bit more consistency than they have so far.
You're right. I mean, remember the first game in Utah? First game against the 76ers. They come out 50% shooting from the field. I believe they were somewhere between 50%, 40% from three-point line. Vince Williams made three three-pointers. Jake Baravia was shooting it. I mean, you saw why the Grizzlies emphasized shooting in the NBA draft. It was obvious. It was a picture-perfect game from the perspective of those guys shot lights out, 100 points. But since that first game, it's been inconsistencies. We saw a good half, like the last half they played in Salt Lake City Summer League against the Utah Jazz. And then we saw, you know, the last two games, like the first two games in Vegas, even in the win against the Timberwolves or in the loss against the Clippers, the shooting sub below 40%. We're talking about the starters, I believe, shot 0 of 19 from three-point range in this last game. That's Jake LaRavia. I believe that was Kennedy Chandler, Santi Aldama. And, I mean, they're struggling from three-point range. And I asked David McClure. He's the Grizzlies Summer League coach. He's usually an assistant coach. Seeing him a lot in practice last season. But I asked David McClure about the shooting because – specifically, Jake LaRavia, right? Jake LaRavia, we all see how pretty the shot is. It's a smooth stroke. He's the guy, you know. His three-point ability is going to translate to the NBA without a doubt. You can still want to see more from maybe the other guys. Jake LaRavia, you know that three-pointer is going to translate. But he's not shooting, Sean. 9 shot attempts in the last two games, both the games in Las Vegas. He had 4 attempts in the first game. He had 5 attempts in the last game. He had 0 points. He had 0 points all the way into the final minute where he made a layup in the second game against the Timberwolves. So I asked Dave McClure, I said, what's going on in terms of Jake LaRavia and getting shot attempts? And he gave a really interesting answer. And it actually is the fact that we talked about this, Sean. We talked about how the Grizzlies in this draft, they really emphasize complementary players, right? The core is already in place. Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., and, you know, you making it include a couple other guys in that group. But at the end of the day, you have that group. Now you want to put the pieces around them. For Ja Morant, you want guys who can space the floor, shoot the basketball. That's why you draft Jake LaRavia, David Roddy. That's why you draft Vince Williams. So this was Dave McClure's answer. He basically said that the Grizzlies' offense was being pushed out near half court. And we saw the Grizzlies play all season. They're a space, and they emphasize space and pace. They want to get up the court fast. They want to space the floor. When they space the floor, as we saw with Ja Morant and Tyus Jones, that creates a lot of opportunities for kickouts, driving kicks, things like that. With Zaire Williams bringing the ball up the court, being pressured the way he has been, Kennedy Chandler to a certain degree as well, Jake LaRavia is just not getting a lot of good looks. Vince Williams not getting a lot of good looks. And the result of that has been them just not scoring a bunch, not getting good opportunities. But they've missed a couple too. Jake LaRavia has missed a couple shots. David Roddy. But watching the Grizzlies in summer league, I'm sure you've seen it, Sean. You're seeing a lot of one-on-one basketball because these guys aren't being able to create for each other because the offense is being pushed out so far. And McClure pointed to the physicality, and I think that was a great point from him.
And the thing that also stands out to me is this, is that last year, let's tear it out a bit for the Grizzlies here, DeMichael. In my opinion, Desmond Bane, honestly, could arguably be a top 5 shooter in the NBA. The Grizzlies have one of the 10 best shooters in the NBA from distance, without a doubt. But then look at the second tier of the Grizzlies' production in that area last year. The Grizzlies overall improved in terms of their three-point production, but it was still below average compared to the rest of the league. Second in threes behind Desmond Bane, De'Anthony Melton. Third in threes behind Melton and Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr. Those were the only three players that had 100-plus threes for the Grizzlies last year. DeMichael, real quickly, where's De'Anthony Melton?
He took a flight to Philadelphia, and there's another guy you just mentioned. Jaren Jackson Jr.
Unfortunately, where's he?
He won't be ready at the beginning of the season. So somebody's got to shoot the basketball, right?
And that's my point. Now, you're going to have hopefully a healthy Dylan Brooks. You may have John Conchar increasing his 3 points per game. Those are two options that may be able to shoot decently. But you're also really putting a lot of emphasis on big jumps from Zaire Williams, and a potential introduction to the league that's successful from distance in Jake LaRavia. The point that I'm getting at is this. One of the biggest reasons why the Grizzlies last year had success in the playoffs is because after that first game in which Minnesota absolutely killed us from three, the Grizzlies shot about equal with Minnesota. We won 4 out of the 5 games against them to close out that series. In the series against Golden State, one of the more underlying reasons the Grizzlies were successful at times, they outshot the Warriors from three. You've lost a lot of that production. And so going into the season, you're going to be relying on a lot of uncertain sources to make up for that production. If the Grizzlies take a step back with their three-point shooting, it's going to be hard for them to replicate their success. My whole point is this, is that with how the Grizzlies so far in Summer League have struggled a bit from distance, I wonder if that starts to put more emphasis on the Grizzlies in some way, shape, or form, finding another move out there to get more certainty when it comes to shooting.
Yeah, and that's a good point too. But I think what they believe is, at the end of the day, Kenny Chandler and Zaire Williams are not going to be your primary ball handlers in a regular season. It's going to be a guy, John Morant, who averages over 7 assists a game, and it's going to be Tyus Jones, who has led the NBA in assist-to-turnover ratio the last 4 seasons. With those two, shots are going to look a lot different. John Morant coming downhill. Great point. Jake LaRavia is going to get better shot opportunities. Now, you know, he's still going to have to adjust to the speed of the game. He kind of has a slow release so far. I think he's going to have to speed that up a little bit. And, of course, that happens over time for a lot of NBA rookies, just adjusting to the closeout speeds and things like that. So I think the shots will get better for them. But you make a great point because Zach Kleiman did say on the first day in Las Vegas that the Grizzlies are, quote-unquote, making calls. I wrote a story on commercialappeal.com about this, so go check that out. Zach Kleiman basically said that the Grizzlies, they have a controlled aggressiveness. They're making calls, but they're not going to do anything dumb or, you know, stupid, as he said.
Yeah, you don't make moves just to make moves. When the Grizzlies are making moves, it's because they believe in what they believe. And don't get me wrong. I am more accepting, I think, than some other Grizzlies fans are, or maybe even folks that cover the team. I think I'm a bit more, you know, accepting, as I think, you know, people are in general, of the fact that if the Grizzlies want to continue to double down on youth, even if they do take a bit of a step back next year, it's fine. At the end of the day, in my opinion, you see it every year. It's great to have as good of playoff positioning as possible, but it's even more important to be as healthy as possible. And I think that even with Jaren Jackson Jr. potentially being out, if the Grizzlies can be healthy, they'll be just fine. But the point is at the end of the day, I think this Grizzlies team is going to have to continue to show good production shooting from three. We'll see how the Grizzlies feel that will develop as time goes on. But before we get to the next season, we've got a few more Summer League games to play, and that includes tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. The thing that stands out to me about this game, DeMichael, is that you're going to have Cam Thomas, and you're going to have some other intriguing names when it comes to the Nets, but the Grizzlies are going to have their full assortment of players back. What I want to see, I want to see consistency. I want to see Chandler. I want to see Zaire Williams. I want to see the Grizzlies be able to succeed, convert on some of those looks they create with good perimeter passing. More consistency, I think, is what is needed in tonight's game.
Yeah, and that's the thing with young players, right? There's that battle with consistency. We saw with Zaire Williams as a rookie. You know, he'd have a great game. He'd have games like in late February against the Timberwolves where he got benched late in the fourth quarter. So you have the ups and the downs, you know, that come with the young players. But I want to talk about a couple things, too, that I want to see. For one, what I don't want to see is – Zaire Williams continuing to bring the basketball up the floor as much as he is. Don't get me wrong. I do believe in the developmental factor here. Go check out my other story that I actually wrote about this, about Zaire Williams and, you know, his impact with the ball handling on commercialappeal.com as well. But here's the thing, Sean. What I've noticed up close and just rewatching these games, he's been most effective as a secondary ball handler and playmaker. And that's where I talked to David McClure about that as well. And what you're seeing happen is Kennedy Chandler will bring the ball past half court, but usually when they get into the offense, the first pass is to Zaire Williams. And he's, you know, he is diagnosed in the defense, still coming off screen, still coming off pick and roll. I think it's more realistic of the ceiling role that you want to see him have in the NBA than actually being a 6'9 guy bringing the basketball up the court. That's not going to be him on a team with Ja Morant and Tyus Jones. Granted, I'll say this again. I do think putting him in that role, that crash course, as David McClure called it, that role that he's basically being blitzed into this tough spot, that is bringing the best out of him, and it's helping him diagnose those pick and rolls and things like that. But you get that same production from that secondary role. You get the same production with him as a secondary playmaker. Plus, you get the scoring confidence that he's shown. If you watch him scoring – He's looked much better when he's operated as a secondary playmaker. But yeah, that's the main thing I want to see. I want to see him get in that role so we can see Kennedy Chandler, you know, get the full look being on the ball. And then hopefully that will lead to better looks for guys like Jake LaRavia, for Vince Williams, who we saw shoot really well in his first game. Vince Williams makes three three-pointers in that first game. He's kind of been quiet since then. And then you talked about David Roddy. I think what the Grizzlies have really liked about him is the way he runs the floor, but they don't know what position to play him at right now. That's kind of been the thing. He's played some at the three. He's played some at the four. Taylor Jenkins mentioned in the opening presser, the introductory presser, that they might want to see him at the five, but we haven't seen that yet. But that's the main thing I want to see, figuring out how they want to use David Rice. Stick him at one of those positions, the three to four, let him roam. At the end of the day, you're talking about a guy who played a lot of small ball five in college. You don't see guys downsize two positions a lot of time in the NBA, like you're seeing a guy that a lot of people are expecting to go from the five to the three. That's, you know, that's a very tough commitment in a way. So that's what I want to see for the most part. We talked about Jake LaRavia already. I think he's due for another breakout game. He's too good of a shooter. If he gets a couple looks, they should go down. We need to see him do more off the dribble, maybe a couple pump fakes, get to the rim. He's 6'9", so use that size. But it's all about the offense. I think defensively, they were locked in that last game. Kennedy Chandler, I mean, Sean, we might be talking about it around February or March about him having the best hands on this team defensively, instinctive-wise, because I talked a lot about DeAnthony Melton and Kyle Anderson for my money. Those two players had the best hands on the Grizzlies when you talk about deflections, getting in the passing lanes. They're both gone. They're not here anymore. So the Grizzlies will need other players to step up in those areas. I think that's a guy who can help out. But yeah, there's a lot to look forward to in this penultimate regular season game.
Absolutely. And you know, you hit on a couple of points that I think are also, you know, critical is the fact that when it comes to the Grizzlies, can they have that controlled chaos type defense like we saw in the second half against Minnesota? They're creating the steals, they're altering shots, they're getting blocks, they're creating disruption, but they're doing it without fouling. And that leads to them winning the possession battle, which, of course, is a huge advantage in the summer league, especially when you're not hitting the threes. I mentioned that on yesterday's podcast. If the Grizzlies can have that controlled chaos on defense, that'll be great. But the other thing, we want to talk about the big bodies that the Grizzlies have. We've seen it a bit from Aldama, but a bit more passing awareness when it comes to Roddy and when it comes to Kenneth Lofton. Roddy, when it comes to him on the movement, you see him making the right reads, but his accuracy on those passes, it's left a little bit to be desired so far in the summer league. Kenneth Lofton, you see teams are shooting double teams at him because they know that they don't have the singular players to be able to stop him. His ability, he's looking, but a quicker processing to know where to make the pass and awareness to know where to make the pass, those are small little things that really can make a difference in a player's overall outlook moving forward, and seeing the Grizzlies be able to improve in those areas, those are a couple of other things. Those controlled chaos, but also the awareness and better execution of passes, I think, are two other areas that really stand out for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, and we talked about the consistency. Who are the main guys I want to see consistency from? Santi Aldama is near the top of the list. He just went from 4 points to 22 points. So Sean, he has to find some. That's a big difference. First Vegas game, 4 points. Second Vegas game, 22 points. Not just 22 points, Sean. 11 of 22 shooting. So he came in that game, and he let it ride. So find a, you know, there has to be a medium somewhere with Santi Aldama. And we'll get more, I think, of that in these next two games. But this next one, that's who I want to see more of. He's missing a lot of three-pointers, but he's capable of making that shot. I've seen him make that shot a lot of times in practice, the top of the key three-pointer that we see him take and miss a lot so far in these games. He's the main guy. I think Kennedy Chandler, all things considered, he's looked pretty good. The speed, the explosiveness is there. I think it's just at the end of the day, for a point guard, you're learning to play with all these guys who you've never played with and you literally met 2 weeks ago. That's a tough assignment, especially for the style that the Grizzlies play in terms of, you know, this spacing, fast pace, quick tempo style where you have to make some really quick decisions. You really depend on chemistry in those type moments. But those are two guys that I'm really focusing on. I mentioned Vince Williams. One thing I want to talk about with him real quick, Sean, is defensively, the Grizzlies are high on Vince Williams. So high in that Timberwolves game, Vince Williams got the primary assignment on, I'm blanking on the name. It wasn't Wendell Moore, but they got the primary assignment on whoever the Timberwolves leading scorer was in the previous Summer League game. The guy who took off and scored in the previous game, Vince Williams was given that assignment and shut it down.
Josh Minot? Yeah.
It wasn't Josh Minot.
What about that's Kevon Williams?
That might have been who it was.
Okay.
Because Santi Aldama was on with Josh Minot. But Vince Williams, he looks the part as a defender. I know we're talking about shooting and all this, but just want to throw that out there. The Grizzlies like what they see from Vince Williams on the defensive end. So that's something else you want to watch. You want to see a guy get after it on defense. Of all the draft picks so far, Vince Williams has probably looked the best on that end. So you combine that, we talked about the inconsistencies that we want to see. We want to see Santi Aldama. I want to see Jake LaRavia, you know, score. This is a guy we're talking about potentially could start at the four with the way the roster is set up right now. You want to have some confidence in what he can do in that position. So those are a couple guys that I'm looking forward to watching, Sean.
Absolutely, and it's great to hear that assessment from you on Vince Williams, because we know he can shoot it. And listen, we know that he's probably going to get a lot of time down at South Haven. But again, at the end of the day, this Grizzlies team, with as young as they are, there could still be a lot of turnover, especially in the back end of the roster. If you got a guy in Vince Williams who can show that he can, you know, have some chops on both the offense and defensive end, it'll be great to see. DeMichael, it's been a pleasure. We will be back with you once again later on this week, obviously covering the Grizzlies later on tonight with the Nets going, on the 12th of July on Tuesday against the Nets, and then on Thursday against the Celtics, plus one more likely over the weekend for the Grizzlies. Until then, my name's Sean Coleman. DeMichael Cole, we'll be back with you covering all things Summer League here on the Locked on Grizzlies podcast.